10 those many years ago.
It's the Matt Bubala Show here on Radio 720 WGN. Well, what is the latest hacking story to hit the news? A week ago, we were talking about nude celebrity photos. Not as fun topic this week. Home Depot had a data breach. Target had theirs last year. This, I imagine, is going to happen more and more often. So how do we best protect ourselves, whether it's people hacking into our cloud or hacking into our bank accounts or then stealing our identity? It's a scare that we've had around for a lot of years. People keep finding new ways to encroach upon our lives. Let's talk to an expert on it. Steve Wiseman is a professor of law at Bentley University in Waltham, Massachusetts. He's also the author of Identity Theft Alert, 10 Rules You Must Follow to Protect Yourself from America's Number One Crime. He has a website called scamaside.com, scamaside.com. Steve joins us on the phone. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Terrific. Good to be with you.
Thanks for being with us. So a couple of big stories in the last couple of weeks. The Home Data one, or the Home Depot one, not as fun to talk about, quite honestly, as Kate Upton. But still, just another way that people are losing their information. Every time this happens, though, it's not a, you know what, it's interesting. It's not like a personal attack. We never seem to hear that much, at least, maybe just because it doesn't make the news. As much about individual identities being stolen, it's millions of identities or information on millions of people being stolen by these big Target breaches now, the Target one, the Home Depot one, the iCloud, different ways that people are finding to get into a lot of information. I guess with the iCloud one, they were individually breaking into accounts by doing username break-ins, things like that. But, you know, when 20 years ago, I had a friend who had his identity stolen. And, you know, you used to hear about be careful how you put your PIN code in at the ATM and things like that. It seems like we're moving away from hearing about that. I don't know if that means it's not happening anymore, but we're maybe a sexier thing for people to do is steal large quantities of people data, like, you know, thousands of people at a time instead of tracking them one by one. I imagine maybe that's more lucrative to people who are into this type of thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, first of all, it's not as bad as you think. It's far worse. And the thing is, the identity thieves are the kid next door. They're organized crime here in the United States. They're organized crime around the world, and you will find it will be people who will be going after individuals' identities, often in broad swaths, just like you get letters on the Nigerian letter scams. But you're right, some of the big ones that we hear about, with 60 million potentially with Home Depot, may even be more than Target, are, interestingly enough, it's these Target, Home Depot, P.F. Chang's, bunch of these other big ones are the same Ukrainian, Eastern European criminals who, what they do is, they're the wholesalers. They gather up millions and millions of data, of information, steal the identities, and then they put them up on black market websites. And in fact, I was looking at one of these black market websites where they sell batches of these cards to other identity thieves, and that's where they make their money. One of the things they're sending and they're selling with the credit and debit card numbers are the states where they were stolen from and the zip code. And what that does is it helps the identity thief, because they may pick, identity thieves may pick cards in the areas where they are. So when they make purchases, it's not going to be an alert to a bank that finds somebody in Chicago suddenly is making a purchase in Texas. So it's huge, big business.
Also, if I want to buy gas with a stolen card, every time I get gas, they put my credit card in, they ask for my zip code. So if I know the billing zip code, that is a big help these days, right?
Exactly. Of course, one of the big things to learn from this is if you're using a credit card, particularly because we're using state-of-the-art technology from 1960 instead of the the chips that would have protected us from a lot of this type of identity theft, you're not going to be at risk for more than inconvenience and maybe as much as $50 of fraudulent charges. But if you're using a debit card, don't use a debit card for retail purchases. Don't use it for anything other than an ATM card. Because if you don't pick up and report the fraud quickly, potentially you can lose your entire bank account. And let's say you even report it immediately. The bank will freeze your account while they are investigating it. You lose access to your money. Bills that you may be automatically paying aren't getting paid. So put that debit card away. Use your credit card.
Well, let me ask you, you know, for many of us, our debit card is also a credit card. Am I okay to use my bank debit card if I'm not putting the PIN number in, if I'm just using it as a credit card?
If you use it as a credit card, you're okay.
Okay. So it's quit using your PIN. Quit typing in your PIN. Your PIN should only be used at the ATM, I'm guessing?
You got it.
And are we okay to use our PINs at the ATM, though?
No, you're not safe there.
Really?
Either.
Because people might see it, or because they hack into that stuff, too?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was really fascinating because there's so many ways of hacking the ATMs, and the most common is something called a skimmer. And you see this really on any machine like an ATM or the card swiper at the gas station. It's a very, very thin, almost transparent piece of electronic equipment that can read your card as you put it in, and sometimes they even put things over the keypad so they can read your keypad. But there was a great case in Canada where some 14-year-old kids took a lunch break. They had checked the software and the vulnerabilities of the software that was used for ATMs by the most common company, and they found a flaw, and so they actually were able to access that ATM and empty it of money. So what they did was, they weren't criminals, they were just curious kids. They did that. They called the bank, told them what they were doing. The bank then found out from them about this great vulnerability and then wrote them a note because they were late getting back to school from lunch.
But didn't let them keep any of the money they were taking out of the bank, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's pretty entrepreneurial of those children. Good for them, I guess.
Absolutely. They have a future.
Hopefully on the good side.
Yes.
Well, let's talk a little bit, because the new iPhone was introduced this week. And while it's not brand new technology, these newer iPhones have these thumbprint sensors on them. And when it comes to, say, something as simple as your cloud and who can access it, to the bank accounts or your money market account, anything that you use, can we, and would this help if you had to touch that with your thumb? You know, we've got that there. Why can't we tie that into everything so nobody can get into it unless that thumbprint was also part of it?
Yeah, and this is something that we are moving towards, is biometrics, but it's not necessarily a cure-all, because using high-technology scotch tape, an identity thief can put the tape down someplace where you have put your thumb, like on your phone, and lift your fingerprint, and actually can be able to use that to access your information, your devices. So biometrics definitely is a step in the right direction, but it is not something at the moment that is going to beat the enterprising. Remember, they're called scam artists for a reason. They truly are criminals, but they're also artists. And I was intrigued by the technology with the new iPhone, and particularly some of the mobile purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not convinced that there still aren't some significant vulnerabilities there.
All right, so we've got to find out some tips to keep ourselves protected, whether it's our personal identity, our credit cards. You already said, don't be using your ATM PIN number when you're using your debit card. Use it only as a credit card when you're going to stores. Don't use it as the debit card that it also is. Don't be typing in your PIN number when you're visiting the grocery store, Target, or Home Depot, certainly those two. What other ways do we need to protect ourselves? Steve Weissman is with us. He is a professor at Bentley University, the author of the book Identity Theft Alert, and his website is scamicide.com, scamicide.com. We'll talk more next. Matt Buvala with you, Radio 720 WGN. It's the Matt Buvala Show on Radio 720 WGN. We're speaking with Steve Weissman, the author of Identity Theft Alert, 10 Rules You Must Follow to Protect Yourself from America's Number One Crime. Steve, was one of those 10 the one about not using your debit card as a debit card?
It is. But, you know, one of the things with identity theft is it can be potentially deadly. And here's an interesting thing is that we've got a perfect storm as far as medical identity theft. With all the retail data breaches, there are actually more data breaches in the healthcare industry than in any other. And here's kind of a quirk is if someone gets at your medical records, your medical insurance, they can access your medical insurance. And when they do, their medical records get interspersed with yours, where potentially you could end up getting an improper blood transfusion of the wrong type because the identity thieves' records are mixed with yours. And because of quirks in the HIPAA privacy laws, it is exceedingly difficult, almost impossible, to get that offending information off of your report, your medical records. Once it's in there, you can only put in an explanation. And here's another thing. The Social Security number is a key to identity theft. When someone gets that, they can really get at you and make your life difficult. When you go to the doctor, routinely, they ask for your Social Security number, and pretty routinely, they don't need it. What they're really getting it for is in case you don't pay your bill to help in collecting. So when people ask for your Social Security number, see if they would accept a different number. See if they will accept your driver's license or something that's not going to get you in trouble. One of the things we have in the book, which was kind of interesting, I thought it was urban lore that they said people would say on the internet, well, if they ask for your Social Security number and you don't want to give it to them, give them Richard Nixon's. And there was a number that was floating around. Well, believe it or not, and this is a problem, they have something called the Death Master Index. Sounds like Darth Vader created it, mm-hmm. but Social Security does this, and it lists all of the Social Security numbers of anyone who has died. It does become a problem of Social Security and identity theft from the dead, but I went to this list, it's available, and got Richard Nixon's Social Security number, and sure enough, it was the same one that was floating around on the internet. So I certainly don't advise people to do it, but they can find out what it is in Identity Theft Alert.
Interesting. What about there's a lot of services out there that will protect you from identity theft. And credit card companies offer stuff like that and different things like that. Should we just protect ourselves by taking a common sense approach, or should you be spending money to hire a company to protect you?
Well, the interesting thing is most of these companies aren't going to protect you. They're more monitoring. It's kind of like you're crossing the street, you just get hit by a truck, and you've hired someone to come out and tell you, guess what, you just got hit by a truck. Now, they may be able to help as far as the costs of getting your identity back. But to a great extent, the kind of things they're doing is monitoring. The best thing that anyone can do is put a credit freeze on their credit report so that even if someone was able to access your personal information, your Social Security number, they wouldn't be able to get at your credit report to make large purchases in your name. You know, in the book, I've got a number of different free services people can have for credit monitoring and instructions as well as how to get a credit freeze.
Well, if I do a credit freeze, that might stop them from making large purchases, but it's not protecting me from everything. And I imagine that the biggest pain is having to cancel everything. And if you've got to get a different Social Security number or try to clear that up, I mean, that's where it really becomes the toughest part of the situation, isn't it? I imagine it's
it
not.
It is.
Yeah.
It is rough. And frankly, there are estimated to be about 60 million people out there who are potentially victims of the Home Depot hacking, and I'm one of them. And I was one with Target as well. When the Target one happened, I did change my the credit card number. I'm waiting to see and monitoring because not everyone who shopped there is going to become a victim. Actually, Home Depot is also offering free credit monitoring service for a year. Now, this is something that I'm taking advantage of, and if you go to scamaside.com, you'll get the websites to go to sign up for it. But be careful, because you may get an email or a text message telling you that this is from Home Depot, and here's where you click to get the free credit monitoring. But what's really going to happen is it's sent from a scam artist, an identity thief. You click on that, you're going to download keystroke logging malware that will steal all the information from your computer and make you a victim of identity theft. So when you never click on, and this is one of the prime rules, you never click on link or download attachments unless you're absolutely sure that they're legit.
Well, and a lot of times those emails are that's instead of, you know, I think when you say downloading something, we think of, you know, don't download some file, but if you get that, that looks like it's from Home Depot, click here to get your information so we can get you straight. It really does look, they've got the logo, they've got everything, this must be right. I'll get those from Chase Bank or Facebook.
Yeah.
I just got one from Facebook this morning. Sorry, you've been having trouble logging on. Well, I haven't had any trouble logging on. So to me, that is either a legitimate email from Facebook and somebody was trying to get into my account and didn't, or that's a scammer sending that email, so I'll go ahead and put in my password to log on.
And actually, this is the interesting, you're bringing up the untold story of the Home Depot hackings and the Target hackings and others. We know that the malware is used. It's the same malware, and it's very, very difficult to identify and locate, which is why you generally see the companies like Home Depot saying, we don't know if there's been a breach, we're investigating. The banks first find a kind of a pattern of fraudulent purchases and trace it back to the company. But the question is, how'd they get the malware on there? And that's where old style, what we call phishing with a PH, you get someone at Home Depot, someone at, in this case, a company working with Target, gets an email like that that looks really legitimate, and they click on that link, and bam, off to the races.
What else? We only have a couple of minutes left. Are there any other really obvious things that we should be doing? Should we be writing more checks? I mean, should we be going back to pen and paper in ways that that were better? Should, and you know what? Here's the other issue I have, Steve, is I have so many different passwords, and it drives me insane, and it's too weak. Do a better one. I can't remember them all. So what do? I put them in my contacts on my phone. So then if somebody gets my phone and they pay attention, then they'll have ways to get into different things that I, you know, my bank account or different things like that. It's so frustrating, and then there's these password managers, but I'm thinking, well, that can't be good. I don't want to put all my password somewhere digitally because then somebody could hack into that.
You're right. And one of the big things is people don't secure their portable devices enough. They don't lock them with a password. They don't use encryption. And you're right. So here's a tip. Because a strong password is something that will protect you, and you do need to have a distinct one for each account, but who can remember? So here's the deal. We're always told you want symbols and letters and capitals and smalls. Here's your password. I don't like passwords. And then you have the capital letters, you have the apostrophe. At the end of it, you throw in a couple of exclamation points. And now, if you're going to use that for Amazon, you put an AMA at the end of it. If you're going to use it for Facebook, you put an FAC at the end of it. And you've got something like that. I don't like passwords. You can use it anywhere. You've got symbols, and it's easy to remember. The other thing is, and this is how, frankly, the celebrities got hacked in that iCloud problem, was people were able to get at their accounts, and all you need is the email address, piece of cake. So I need to get into their account. I need the password. Well, I forgot my password. Answer the security question. Well, for celebrities, a lot of that information is available. Sarah Palin's security question when she got hacked was, where did I meet my husband? Someone merely went on Wikipedia, found out, met him at Wasilla High School. Now, you think that the rest of us, it wouldn't be a problem, but you'd be surprised how much information is available and how much we put up there. You know, it may be our pictures of our pet with the name on Facebook or something. So here's what you do. You take the security question, and it's, where did I go to high school? And the answer is grapefruit. It is stupid enough that you will remember it, and no one is going to be able to hack that.
Mm-hmm. And then do you do that same answer for every, because there's usually three security questions.
Yeah.
Do you do the same grapefruit for each one?
I would, because no one's going to guess it, and you're going to be able to remember it.
Yeah. Well, now people will be typing in grapefruit, so you might want to change that.
You may need to go pomegranate.
And then you don't know how to spell it, so then you get
booted
off. Yeah,
that could be a problem.
Steve Weissman's a professor at Bentley University, a law professor in Waltham, Massachusetts. The website, scamaside.com, scamaside.com, and you can pick up the book, Identity Theft Alert, 10 Rules You Must Follow to Protect Yourself from America's Number One Crime. Steve, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Really enjoyed it.